Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings and greetings, blessed souls. This is Soul Class number 23, and my name is Don Zosia Goodman. It's been about almost 10 days now since we did our last show, and I meditated upon this matter, and I gave it some thought, and I thought, well, since we are coming up on the great and awesome day, which is known as Shabbat Shabbaton, the Sabbath of all Sabbaths, the day of Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur. And this is a great day, blessed souls, because actually on this day, 3,300 and almost 23 years ago, 3,323 years ago, on the day which the 10th month of the Hebrew month of Tishrei, the mighty Levite prophet Moses came back down from Mount Sinai with the second pair of tablets. Most of you are aware of the fact that the first pair of tablets were actually broken by the same mighty Levite prophet, Moses, because the Israelites had fallen prey to, unfortunately, to our great pain, to this day, the sin of the golden calf, which was instigated by the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude coming out of Egypt, and the 12 tribes of Israel didn't take a proper stand against that act of idolatry and blasphemy. And Moses, our teacher, when he came down from Mount Sinai, was in so enraged that he broke the tablets. Well, he went back up on the beginning of the 12th month of the year, which is identified now as Chodesh Elu, Chodesh Harachamim, the month of mercies, and he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights and came back with a second pair of tablets, or known as the Luchot HaShniot, the second pair of tablets. But so tonight's show, which is part of Soul Class number 23, remember Soul Class, Blessed Souls, is an acronym for 7, S, 7, O, oldest or original, U, universal, L, laws, which are the original traditions that were given to Noah and his blessed son Ham, Shem, and Japheth, which you can read about in Genesis, Bereshis, chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. And the 7 Noahide commandments, which are universal in scope and in application, are to not to blaspheme the Creator with the Creator's name, not to serve idols, not to kill, not to commit premeditated murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to eat a portion of an animal while it's still alive. And the last of the 7 commandments is actually a positive commandment, is to promote positive statutes, and which includes, of course, positive human values as ordained by eternal Torah instructions, like the giving of charity, the education of all members of society, not for the most elite, but actually everyone is elite, in the sense that everyone has a Tzelem Elohim, a divine image. That being said, blessed soul, so what do we do about the concept of tshuva? The word tshuva is brought out in a seminal work by the mighty Rambam, who talks about the spiritual basis for doing teshuva. And he brings down, in his Laws of Teshuva, the following in Chapter 1, which, by the way, you can get in English. It's an excellent series, published by Moznayim Publications. And you can quote Moznayim Publications, and I don't work for them, at 718-438-7680 and 718-850-0525. And the ISBN number for this book on the Laws of Tshuva is 0940118-48-9. And in the first chapter, in the first law, it's written the following. Let's say a person transgresses one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, whether it be a positive command or a negative command, whether it was done intentionally or by mistake. So when a person wants to return and do tshuva, what we call repentance in English, which is a more superficial definition, he or she must confess actually before the Most High what they did which was wrong. As it says in the book of Bamidbar, which is the fourth book of the Torah, the Bible, book of Numbers, in chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, quote, if a man or woman commits any of the sins of man, meaning those which would be considered to be wrongful acts done by the children of man, all human beings, they must confess the sin that they are committed. This is the verbal, this is referring to a type of verbal confession, which is called vidoy, and confessing of one's wrongdoings is a positive command from the Torah itself. So how would one confess of one's sins, one's misdoings? He would say, Rambam gives an example, quote, I implore you, Most High, I sinned, I transgressed, I committed iniquity before you by doing the following. Behold, I regret and embarrassed for my deeds. I promise never to repeat this act again. So the Rambam continues saying, this is basically an essential aspect of prayer, professional prayer, and whoever will confess to the Most High and elaborate on these matters before the Most High, not to people, but to the Most High when they are matters that are between a person and the Most High, matters of the heart. Okay. This is considered to be worthy of praise. Now, if we go now into the Hasidic teachings, blessed soul, there is a great work called Hayom Yom. Literally, today is the day, or the day. And this was a group set of teachings which were actually from day to day, we can translate Hayom Yom. Originally, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman Mendel Schneerson, who lived from 1902 until he went to the next level of life in 1994, he compiled, as requested by his father-in-law, the previous Lubavitcher, the Rebbe Rayatz, the Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, to compile a list of Hasidic teachings that the Hasidim and ultimately for the whole world to live by and to thrive by. And this teaching, which is basically this book is a compilation of teachings for each day of the year that a person can sort of munch on the teachings of Chassidut. And the idea of this teaching right here is emphasizing the act of Teshuvah. And there was another tzaddik who was a student of the Maggid of Mezrich and a peer, so to speak, of the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Chabad, who talked about tshuva can have such heights that he could not reach what tshuva could reach, but yet he could break it down and make it accessible for himself, and therefore make it accessible for other people to really approach the Most High in a very sincere manner and praiseworthy manner, according to the spirit we mentioned before in the teachings of Rambam. So the tzaddik Meshulam Zussi of Anapoli wrote the following. teshuva in the Hebrew is it is composed of the following letters in Hebrew: Tuf, Shin, Vav, Zeis, or Zeit, and Hey. And each Hebrew letter can actually allude to a verse in the Torah. So it's basically the act of tshuva means we have to meditate not only on the act of returning on a general fashion, blessed souls, but we have to learn how, and hopefully we'll take this advice humbly, we should return to the Most High in five specific ways based on five verses from the Torah and the Tanakh, meaning the teachings such as the prophets and Psalms. And we'll go into it now. So the first letter in Hebrew of the word Teshuvah is a Tof, which is alluding to the idea of a Tamim, which is based on a verse in Deuteronomy 18:13, Devarim Perek Chai, Posek Yud Gimel. Tamim means be sincere with the Eternal, your Creator. Sincerity is a very important aspect in serving Hashem. And this is referring to a level of sincerity and wholeness, okay? It has many, many levels. One of the highest forms of the wholeness of the heart is a level which is called in Yiddish earnestkeit, or earnestness in English. As the Torah says of Abraham Avinu, that it says in a verse in the prophet Nehemiah, that you, quote unquote, the prophet testifies for all generations concerning Abraham, you found his heart faithful before you. So a person who is a Tamim, or going in the way of Tamimut, okay, is someone who is sincere, whole, earnest, I mean, they serve Most High with alacrity, and their heart is faithful to the Most High. Now, the second letter in the word Teshuvah is a Shin, which is alluding to the concept of Shaviti, which is a verse in Psalms 36:8, where King David wrote, I have set the Most High before me always. So the name, the divine name, which is used in that verse, Blessed Souls, for I have set the Most High before me always, is actually the divine name of the Yud, and then the He, and the Vav, and the He. I have set the Most High before me in all my prayers. Now that name, that divine name, indicates that all creation of the universe and creatures are brought into being in a way that there is actually quite a gap between creator and created beings. The source of all creation is ultimate being, and what emanates out of ultimate being is actually non-being. However, as we perceive it, blessed souls, we are the beings, and those forces which are invisible to our eye and even to our heart and our intellects and our emotional capacities, okay, we call that nothing. But actually, it's the opposite. So the level of service, or avodah, as we say in Hebrew, relating to this type of teshuvah, is one being constantly aware and conscious and projecting that consciousness to himself and his environment, to the creation, that the universe in and of itself has no substance, but yet is brought into constant creation by the Creator, who is the sense source of everything, and everything in relation to the Blessed Creator is absolutely nothing. Now, the third letter in the word Teshuvah would be a Vav, and this is relating to the verse, the Hebrew word Vahata, and you shall love. You shall love your fellow as yourself, which is a verse from Leviticus, or Vayikra, chapter 19, verse 18. Otherwise, Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chai. Yudkes. So what that being said, this is so loving your fellow as yourself. Of course, you can, you know, it's written in the masculine, but really it refers to all people. The first Rebbe of Chabad, that when you can love your neighbor as yourself, you are now making yourself a vessel for loving the Eternal One, your God, which is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, or Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. So there's also a teaching in the teaching of sages of Israel called Perkei Avot, literally the ethics of the fathers, because this concept of fathers is one who can teach Torah is actually a father to those who learn the Torah from them, that people become other people's spiritual children in the positive sense, in the sense of bonding and elevating each other, teacher because he's teaching, dispersing Torah to people who are otherwise unaware of it, and students who internalize it and actually elevate the teacher by the fact that they make that teacher meritorious by absorbing and internalizing those teachings of Torah. So the author of the Torah, according to that teaching in the Perkei Avot, in the ethics of our fathers, chapter 3, verse 10, whoever is pleasing to the most is to man, is pleasing to the Most High. So ultimately, so that this idea of Vav, the third letter, in the word Teshuvah, returning, is referring to a service of returning to the Most High out of the goodness of your heart. The next letter, Blessed Soul, is a vase, which is alluding to, in all your ways know Him, B'chol, or B'chol. And that verse, Blessed Soul, in all your ways know Him, is coming from Proverbs, Mishle, chapter 3, verse 6. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Mishle Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav. And what's going on over there, blessed souls? A person who will place his or her heart to observe everything that happens to him or her will perceive that there's those matters that are interacting, interfacing, refracting with her into his or her lifestyles, our lives, our environments, our family members, will perceive godliness, elokut, tangibly, in an evidential way. And, in fact, the son of the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, pointed out that men who are involved in business can have an advantage, in some ways, over scholars of Torah who are secluded. In fact, the business people of the world can actually witness manifestations of elokut or godliness. So this type of teshuvah, blessed souls, revolves around one's perceiving hashkacha pratit, divine providence, as it is penetrating one's own blessed life. Now the next the last letter of this Hebrew word tshuva, which means to return, is alluding to the Hebrew word hatsina, which means walk discreetly with your Creator, which is a verse in Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, or in Hebrew, the Navi Micha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches. And what's this idea of walking discreetly or humbly with your Creator? One must take care to avoid being conspicuous or even ostentatious to the slightest manner. And it's even written in the Talmudic tractate of blessings, page 17, side A, that a person should have a sort of approach to their piety, that it should not cause one to draw the attention of others upon his or her for their piety. And also, it's written down in his teaching, in Hayom Yom, that it was known by early Hasidim. We're talking about from over 200 years ago. 230, 240, 300 years ago. Now, early Hasidim would conceal who they really were, and if they were discovered to be men of virtue in the highest possible way, they would actually become distressed. So the whole idea of this avodah blessed souls is being discreet. So who would these principles of tshuva apply to? Well, blessed souls, I humbly suggest to everyone as we are now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're now 3 days away from the Day of Atonement, that all of us can take to heart these ideas of teshuvah and being sincere with the internal one, our God, to set him before ourselves always, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to know him in all of our ways, meaning to recognize the godliness, the godly intent in every fiber and every molecule of the creation. And last but not least, to be very discreet and not being a show-off in terms of our attempts to want to come closer to him. It's an act of modesty, actually. Now, with that being said, blessed souls, we turn to the Rambam, who talks about, in again, the laws of tshuva, that one must be doing repentance or returning. Now, repentance, blessed souls, is basically the outer aspect of tshuva, of returning, because we have to have, as we mentioned before, a certain level of brokenness, a broken heart, a sense of contrition, humility, to humble ourselves, as it applies to our conduct, if our conduct is not right. In another place in the laws of tshuva, Rambam writes, one of the things that we have to do tshuva on, repent upon, get close to the Most High, is in the face of the fact we might have eaten in a gluttonous manner. So Rambam, in another work by him, the 13 principles of faith, is 8 chapters, basically how to understand the sages of our people of Israel and for all nations. He said that, you know, we should understand in chapter 3, as he talks about spiritual illness in this book called Shmona Prokim, that there have been philosophers throughout the generations, especially the early ones, that, yes, the body can become ill and the body can be healthy. So, too, the soul can be ill and the soul can be healthy. So let's look at this a little deeper, blessed souls. When is the soul considered to be healthy, as the Rambam writes? When its tendencies, as the soul is manifested in the human body, and those of its elements lead to good, kind, and pleasant deeds. So if we are involved in good, kind, and pleasant deeds, we're allowing our soul to be healthy. On the other hand, illness is a state where there are now means by which a person is going to be led to evil conduct, damage, and acts which are condemnable, not very good things. Now, we can understand, the Rambam continues, that people sometimes get sick. And when they get sick, they become confused. And they can misperceive the sweet as bitter, and they can misperceive the bitter as sweet. They can think of things that are pleasurable to be not pleasurable anymore. And then they can start to desire and have pleasure from things that will not take care of their health and actually be harmful to their health. And the Rambam goes to extremes in saying, for instance, a person who wants to eat, instead of eating a healthy food, will eat soap or charcoal or dust or very bitter and sour objects. But any person who is truly healthy would not only not desire it, but actually be disgusted by it. So too, and that was just an analogy, a metaphor, the ailments of the soul for the wicked and the unworthy, who are considered the wicked and the unworthy think that what is undesirable is actually good, and to do what is good is actually undesirable. You know, the wicked will seek motives that are in fact evil, and because of the weakness of the spirit, the wicked will think the acts of evil are acts of good.
So we know that when a person becomes ill, if they have the means, of course no one should become ill, but this, you know, allegorical teaching here, if the person doesn't know how to heal themselves, what does a person do? They go to a doctor, and they take instruction, they take action. The doctor will start to educate them and warn them about things that will hurt their bodies. And even though the person will think those things that he's being warned as are pleasant for him, instead they'll follow the advice of the doctor and take medicines, which actually, from a certain perspective, might seem bitter and don't even taste good. But yet they will cure the body. So this experience that the person goes from a state of sickness to health is predicated on occasion, and sometimes all the time, where they have to make choices which seem to be hard choices, but after they make those hard choices, they become healed. And in the end, when they make those decisions, they'll see that the good choices they made are actually the pleasurable aspects of life. And those things which they previously thought were good are now the repulsive aspects of life. So it is, blessed souls, that those people, Rambam writes, who have spiritual ailments should seek out wise people who are known to be healers of the souls. And those healers of the souls will warn them against the evils that at one time those wicked people were considered to be good, but now the wicked don't want to be wicked anymore. Can be healed through activities that will heal the traits of their souls, which were previously sullied and now in the state of repair. So those people that have spiritual ailments and do not appreciate them, and in fact think themselves to be healthy, will eventually perish, just as an ill person who does not want to get physical treatment from those who can help him or her. With that being said, blessed souls, for those who are aware of the fact that their nature is not that great and their conduct has not been great, the Torah says, as it says in Deuteronomy 29:18, to add satisfaction or thirst, meaning the person has become aware of the tendency, yet still is fooled into satisfying that thirst, but what they do is they make themselves even thirstier. And with regard to those who are unaware of their sickness, Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 14:12, Mishle Perik Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, the ways of the crooked is straight in his eyes, and he listens to the, but yet who, someone who listens to advice is wise. Meaning, if we go to the wise people, and I suggest to you very humbly, let us go to the wise teachers and instructors of the Torah, which are in the oral traditions and the written traditions, and will be shown the true path. And not the path that they guess is true. And King Solomon writes in another place, which is, again, in Proverbs, I'm sorry, I think I've quoted before, Proverbs 14:12. It's Proverbs 12:15. The way of the wicked is straight in his eyes, and he who listens to advice is wise. But in another place, King Solomon writes, which is in Proverbs 14:12, or Mishle, Perek Yud Dalet, there is a way that might seem right to a person, but ultimately its ways are death. And so those people who are in the category of being spiritually ill and do not know what will benefit them and what will harm them, it is said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, the path of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what they will stumble, which is, again, Proverbs 4:19, or Mishle, chapter Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Tes. So blessed those, this is done with a little taste of tshuva. I hope these words have gone from my heart to your hearts. And we'll start to consider the idea that teshuvah, is it repentance or returning? Who can repent or return? It's something which is applicable to everyone, to all of us, you and I. Shalom, good night, peace, v'hamshich, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High.